the circumcision. We worship God in spirit. Not in the flesh. To be bringing sounds from heaven, and yet we are bringing no sounds in the gyration of demonic spirits.
Can you pray that the Lord will take you beyond zeal, beyond your emotions, and He will show you His heart? Can you pray tonight? Can you pray tonight? There is zeal that is without knowledge, and then there is zeal that is powered by just emotions. Can you ask the Lord that He will show you His heart? That He will take you beyond just the peripheral and bring you into the depths of the experience, such that you will be provoked to do that which He reveals to you? Can you go to the Lord tonight? 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 Baravako vele sandiata. Le ba 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 ba. It was not just zeal that brought men like Livingstone to Africa. There was something they saw, something they encountered, depths that they experienced. It was personal to them. It was personal to them. Can you ask the Lord tonight? Can you ask the Lord tonight? I want to see your heart. 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 Can you make me qualified to share in your burden? Lord, can you share with me that which burdens you? Can you share with me that which burdens you? That which burdens you for my generation? That which burdens you for this world? Lord, can you share with me that which burdens you? Lord, whatever it is, oh God, that qualifies a man for such experience, Lord, I am desperate for it tonight. 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 What men like that did that made them qualify to share your secrets, to be bearers of your yoke, to be sharers of your burden? Lord God Almighty, recruit me into such an order tonight. 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 Eva papa pora bande kabelaya. Ekrasende kabila kabotele kabelaya. I want my eyes to cry your tears. I want my heart to feel your pain. Oh God, I come tonight with a heart open, sincere. You, oh God, that answers prayers, will you not answer me tonight? Eprasata kabatela. The thing that Livingstone saw that made him abandon the comforts of his home and come into the difficult terrain of Africa, willing to spend and be spent, willing to die. Lord God, may my own eyes see, may my own ears hear, may my own heart burn with such matters. Lord, I come tonight. Lord, I come tonight. Lord, I come tonight. History, oh God, is replete with evidence that it is only men that have come to such a point that you use to take territories. It is only men that have come to such a point that you use to deliver generations. Lord, will you not bring us to such a point? Lord, will you not bring us to such a point? Will you not bring us to such a point that our hearts will burn? Our hearts will burn. Our hearts will burn. Lapa eke valati manda barakabo telebaya. Krasata baraka bodele bandalate. Raka pole prasantata. Lika bolabria no croveti kabila. Rada boko preziza mandada palata bola kapilandos. Ika botele kebeli kabila kovatada. Don't bother. If you don't feel like praying, it is okay. These are not the kind of prayer points for everybody. These are for people who are desperate to journey with God, who want to find what our fathers found. Can you go to God tonight and say, Lord, 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 walk on my own heart. Open my eyes to see what it is you are showing. May I become, oh God, obsessed with what you are obsessed with. May I become burdened with what you are burdened with. May my passions be in the direction of the things that you call important. Oh God, tonight. Oh God, tonight. Oh God, tonight. So that my pilgrimage in the earth will not be wasted. So that my experience in the earth will not be forgotten. Oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God, for the sake of your agenda, for the sake of what you want to do in a generation, I present myself tonight. I present myself tonight. I present myself tonight. What you show to the men that you used, will you not show me? Why were they willing to lay down their lives? What is it that John Hall saw that he was willing to die at his stake? Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Let a revolution begin in my spirit tonight. Let a revival begin in my heart tonight. Let it be revolution. Let it be revolutionary. Light a fire that nothing can quench. Light a fire that lack cannot quench. Light a fire that comfort cannot quench. Light a fire that prosperity cannot quench. Oh God, oh God, oh God, may I be able to say like Paul, that indeed I am your bond slave. Lord, what did you do to this man? Amanaka bote bara, libra saka botele mandi. We have become satisfied with church service. We have become satisfied with numbers in our buildings. And yet the world for which you died is perishing all around us. The tears are missing on the altar. Men no longer weep for the lost. Men no longer fast for the lost. Men are no longer willing to be missionaries. Our generation, oh God, is about to be the forgotten people. Oh God, God, visit again tonight in your mercy, in your mercy, in your mercy. Oh God, para da bakoba, shanda la kabelandia. Ele kabilote, rada da 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 da, rada da 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 da. May my pilgrim in time not be wasted. May my pilgrimage in time not be wasted. May my pilgrimage in time not be wasted. Oh God, oh God, oh God. When you are counting vessels that you use to do your will, Lord, let this life, let this name not be missing. Lord, do to me what you do to men that you love. Do to me what you do to men that you are willing to use. Spend this life. Spend this life. Spend this life. Use it for your glory. Nakate kate kate. Ruba pa 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 pa. Rekate kati brazanta likaba. Use it for your glory. I don't want to end my journey here and then find out that I lived for nothing. Lape duku paranate, raga daga daga daga, rade borake borabila, nshata papa papa, nshata bele kuvela, ikate 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 ikate, rada papa 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 papa, rada papa 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 papa, reke teke 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 teke, reke teke 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 teke, rika bola bunde.
late fati parusa ba e kabote baria poria de braza kabateleka. Put fire in this heart, oh God. Put fire in this heart, oh God. Le brazisi zakade kadi rada ba 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 ba. We want to weep again, Lord. We want tears to return to the church. We want to weep again. We want to weep for the lost again. We are no longer moved, oh God. We are going about our lives as if everything is okay. We have become a generation that is looking for money. We are hungry for food, and yet our father's business is suffering. Lord, have mercy tonight. Lord, have mercy tonight. Lord, have mercy tonight. And visit us again. Visit us again, that generals on the field will rise from our company again, that men who know the way of travail over the lost will rise again from our company. Lord, have mercy tonight. Lord, have mercy tonight. Lord, have mercy tonight. Ike kaboni ma monko merai la brusa 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 rebrasi kabala kabodela. Rika bola bata baru rababa rababa rababa. It's okay if you don't feel like praying. You can sit down and cross your leg. But if you came to territorial warfare tonight with a pain in your heart, asking God, when will you use me to? It's time to pray now. There is something beyond emotions. There is something beyond zeal. It's called the face of God. If you look upon it, your life will be altered forever. If you see his heart, your life will be altered forever. Can you beg him tonight? What did you do to this man that they were willing to die for you? Will you not do it to me? Before I waste my life, before I live for nothing, before I grow old thinking I have done your work, only to find out that I wasted time. Oh God, 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 oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God. What did you do to Madame Guyon? What did you do to Coleman? What did you do, oh God, to Andrew Murray? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do to Tosa? Lord, Kessiana is here. Do to me what you did to Tosa. Do to me, oh God, do to me. Via poli paria le bruni mana catete calosi li presina ma cope ope papa papa pa. Lord, my generation is sick. My generation dies in immorality. Will you leave me like this, oh God? Will you not let me know why you weep? Will you not let me know why you weep? Jehovah, why do you weep? Kesiana wants to cry your tears. Ope papa popa kalia radia kata kaya ula pero sinaya ibura pipa 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 pipo le de 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 rada rabo ruko bola nakabola ya rike bola pipa la bola mai. Oh, Elemane! Brethren, I have found out that in an entire generation, God can have only two men. Oh, Melemaka, Baba. Men who are aligned with his burdens. Men that are crying in the night when the Lord cries. He can have many churches. He can have many denominations and have only two men in an entire world, an entire generation. If God will choose only two, Kesiana must be one. This is what I cry for in my secret. Oh, We are tired of people falling under the anointing and our world is in chaos. We are tired of people getting healed and our world is in chaos. We want revival. We want salvation. We want consecration. We want holiness. We want holiness. Ole manamana kaya. Lord, will you not give us our city? Libre Sandabaya. Will you not give us Africa? Rebrusedebaya. Will you not give us North America? Lord, Lord, out of America, great preachers have come. But look at America today. The nation is in tatters. Moral fabrics of the nation are in tatters. It seems that there are churches there, but there are no men, there are no men. There are no people that weep between the altars and the pews. The revival must come. It must come. It must come. Men that know God, that cry where he cries, that weep where he weeps, that lie down and beg him to stretch forth his hand. Such men must rise again. I want to share your pain. I want to share in your burdens. Oh. Allah put the Maya. Light fire in my heart. Light a fire in my heart. These are personal, intimate prayers. I will not judge you if you can't pray it. Only those who have cried with a great cry in their secret place will understand what is happening here tonight. This is what drove the men before us. Missionaries that came to Africa. They came because they saw the Father's heart. Now America needs missionaries. Those that are living from Africa, they are going there because of money, not because they saw the Father's heart. The need for comfort, the need for money has paralyzed a generation. We are like men crippled in the spirit because the men that lived before us, what drove them was the heart of the Father. The burden of the Father was the reason why they lived. But now a desire for comfort, a desire for self has crippled a generation. We are more advanced. We have more technology. We have more opportunity. But we don't have the results of our fathers. We don't have their burdens. We don't have their tears. We don't know their travail. Amen. I
while you weep, Lord. My heart must burn tonight, oh God. Oh, oh, the tears of God. If you've ever cried God's tears, you will know what I'm talking about. The tears of God. The tears of God. The tears of God. Ele, ele, oh, ele, oh, look upon us with mercy. Daddy, some of us have tears in our eyes tonight. Do not despise us, please. Please. We want to cry your tears. Why do you weep, oh God? What is it that burdens you, Father? We want to share your burden. We are tired of noise, tired of activity, tired of religion. This is the generation that sings worldly songs in your tabernacle. We refuse to be that people. We are the generation that seek your face. We want your heart. We want your heart. We want your heart. We want to bear your yoke. We want to bear your yoke. We want to bear your yoke. I can't seem to let this prayer go. If I were you, I would pray now. I will pray now. I will pray now. Lord, let me feel what you feel for worry. Let me feel it. Let me know it by experience, what you feel for Delta State. What you feel for Nigeria, what you feel for Africa. I want it to drive my life. I want it to drive my life. What you feel for Europe, what you feel for North America, South America, what you feel for Australia. Oh, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Men left their comfort zones, knowing they were surely going to die, and they left to death with joy. Lord, what you did to them, do to us. RCN worry, we are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not afraid for what the price will be. What you did to them, do to us. Do to us. Do to our children. Do to our teenagers. Do to the young adults. Do to our wives. Do to our husbands. Do to us. do to us. Oh, do to us. 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 Oh, I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be. Thank you, Holy Ghost. 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 Woo! Shada ba ba ba. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Mando kovele mando soko mando. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please be seated if you can tonight. Hallelujah. You see, one of the challenges we are facing as a generation, one of the challenges we are facing as a generation, is the average Christian in this generation is more emotional than he is spiritual. There's so much emotionalism around the Christian faith. And the sad thing is that for most cases, emotions is even passing off as Christian experience. And if you've been around, I've taught you many times that Christianity is not emotional. Your emotions will be involved in your Christian journey, but Christianity is not first emotional. Christianity is spiritual. Like I was saying on Sunday, what happens to you is that you make contact with spiritual life. And as a result of that contact, your very expression in the visible realm is altered. But you see, if you go around Christian space, you find out that there's so much emotionalism, so much sensationalism. And so we are not producing the kind of Christians that have the capacity to change the world and move it in the direction of God. So people make emotional commitments to God. They just, during a worship meeting, they get so emotional and then they say things to God that they don't mean. So there are people who have made vows continuously to God. They've never kept them. The average Christian is so inconsistent that God, looking at us from heaven, he's so worried because it looks as if our numbers have increased, especially in Nigeria, and yet we don't have the capital, even within public space, to generate respect. The church in Nigeria today is almost like, is mocked in certain places. We have large gatherings, we do large meetings, but influence in places that matters, we don't have. Yes, our fathers have access to government houses, they have access to the president, but when serious matters are being discussed, the church is not even considered. Go to states like Ogun State, where all our camps are located. Since I can remember, that Ogun State has been governed by our cousins. Since I can remember. So even though we have Christians who are in positions of influence, you know, Christians who are in politics, Christians who own businesses and are billionaires. We have Christians that are billionaires, run Christian, so-called Christian businesses, and they have so much money. Yet it has not translated to anything tangible for the kingdom of God. Nothing tangible. The Church of God in Nigeria for the last 40 years thereabout has advanced a prosperity gospel that has done nothing but cripple a generation. So we have people who want to take the seven mountains, people who want to go into music, want to go into this, want to go into that. And they have entered into those mountains, and yet it has not translated to any advantage for Jesus. No advantage whatsoever. The kingdom of God has not advanced more now, 30 years, 40 years after, since we started teaching the gospel of prosperity, that what the church of Jesus needs is more money. It has not advanced. So we have rich Christians in Nigeria. We have Christians who sit on boards as directors. But the kingdom of God, has that translated to more influence for Jesus Christ in present day? No, it has not. It has not. When we didn't have money, go and study. I've always told you, try and read church history. When the church in Nigeria was considered a broke, poor church, when companies wanted to recruit, if they heard that you were a Christian, the company could put its entire trust in you. It cannot happen now. Even now, people are afraid to do business with people they call pastors. They are afraid. We had much more capital of integrity and respect when it looked as if we were broke financially. Because so much sensationalism has entered into the body of Christ, and the main goal of Jesus has been abandoned. I'm saying all of that to say to you tonight that what burns on the heart of the Father is not your comfort, it's not money. What burns on the heart of the Father is the agenda of the kingdom. And the agenda of the kingdom is that all the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. Many are lost, even in church. Lost in church. I can say that boldly because I know the number of people who reach out to me from everywhere. Many are attending church on Sundays, but even the places they are attending does not have capacity to bring them to where they can consistently love and serve Jesus. the kind of things we preach from the pulpit, there's this obsession with material gain, this obsession with comfort, this obsession with self-promotion, self-celebration, that we will do anything to be comfortable in this realm. And yet God's primary agenda is suffering a setback. Evangelism has not been this weak. Evangelism has not been this poor for years. It looks as if now what we just have is that we have numbers in church. The territories in which our churches are not affected by the presence of the church. This is why we are turning to philanthropy. Because the only way the communities can know that there's a church there is when we do road, is when we share rice, is when we pay people school fees. Our fathers didn't care about philanthropy. Their presence was enough evangelism. If you found a church in the days of our fathers, the whole community will enter into a revival. Personal revival was not enough for them. It didn't satisfy them that they could speak in tongues. Their satisfaction came from knowing that their entire communities came under the government of Jesus. But now we are under pressure to prove to the world that we are doing something. So we have to buy biscuits and share on Sunday. We have to cook rice every Sunday. Let the community know. So we provide rice for people. So people are eating our rice and going back to their alcohol. They are eating our rice, going back to their prostitution. They come collect their bags of rice, collect their philanthropic gifts that we are giving to them. But their lives are not changing. That's why we have many denominations in our nation, and yet our communities don't know Jesus. The men who lived before us, something overshadowed them, something possessed them. Look at the man called William Tyndale that translated the Bible to English. That one thing that he did cost him his life. He was burnt at the stake. He was burnt. When I read about him, they wrote concerning him in one of the biographies that he said with his mouth that his only agenda, his only desire is that his kinsmen will be able to read about the love of God in their own language. That's all he was living for. Imagine having just one agenda. One. Not that I will buy a car, not that I will eat food. And I'm not saying that these things are bad. But I'm saying to you that when this generation passes, I guarantee you, when we stand before God, it will occur to us that we wasted time. We did nothing, nothing for God. We did nothing. And you see, I don't know where Fego came with that prayer tonight, because those are the kind of things I pray about in my secret. I don't want to be a preacher that came and just did many things and made many noise, and then when we die, we now find out that we want to stand in the same places that people gave their lives for the gospel are going to stand. We want to just waltz into heaven like ballerinas, just enter into heaven like we are drinking coke, and then come and stand shoulder to shoulder with men who paid the ultimate price for the gospel. Men that could not sleep at night if they saw prostitutes on their streets. Men who will travail all night. They don't have food to eat. But their burden is that God save the lost. Save the lost. We want to stand shoulder with them and say that we too will made it to heaven. Without a shadow of doubt, one of the burdens of the heart on the heart of God for our generation is that we will come back to the place of true spirituality. You cannot be spiritual and not be affected by what affects God. You cannot. You cannot be spiritual and the burdens of God will not be upon your heart. You cannot. You cannot be truly spiritual and you will not be crying daily on your bed. You just need to walk around worry and notice that we are in serious trouble in this city. We are in trouble. Serious trouble. Young people are en masse on their way to hell. Young people.
drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality is so cheap in our city. But we're having church. And the truth is that the Nigerian church does not care. We want to share philanthropic things. We want to give food. Isaiah chapter 62. Let me see what I can share because I've lost desire to teach. Jesus, help me. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6 and 7. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not what? Who said them? He said, I have said them. I have said them. You probably heard the story of T.L. Osborne, who got to heaven and he had a vision of heaven. And then when he got there, he was seeing crowns being given to people as rewards for their work on the earth. And he saw a very beautiful piece. And then he was saying to himself, surely this one is for me. And God says, not for you. One nameless old woman in his church who made it her responsibility to be praying for him, she's the one that crown was reserved for. God gave him the privilege to see it. So that we will know that when we get to heaven, there will be a lot of nameless, faceless people who will be receiving honors and rewards from God because they were able to bear the Lord's burden. The Lord's burden. Cry the Lord's tears. He said, I have set watchmen on you. I set them, on your walls. And their job is that they will never hold their peace day or night. These are men who are in consistent alignment. Their hearts have been captured by the very things that have captured the heart of God. So they can't keep silent. They are crying. They are crying. They are crying. I've taught you many times, it's not normal for a Christian not to feel pain towards an unbeliever. It's not normal. There's something wrong with your spiritual nomenclature. It's not normal. That you see somebody going to hell and you are not troubled. Some of us, is even our family members, your father, your mother, your siblings, you are not troubled. Everything is okay. That person is spiritually sick. The truth is that we didn't make contact with God. If you make contact with God and you are truly spiritual, the life of God will be troubling you. That this one is going to hell. Do you know what hellfire is? It's an eternity separated from God. Eternity. An eternity separated from God. Eternity. Imagine Jesus. There was no place that Jesus went that he was not desperate for the lost. No place. No place. He entered into a city, he's crying, repent! At the slightest opportunity, he wants to teach. He wants to save the lost. 33 and a half years, only 3.5 years of public ministry. 3.5 years, we have not recovered till now. You are 27. You've been born again for 10 years. And yet even your family has not felt the impact of your evangelism. Only 3.5 years a man walked the streets of Jerusalem. 3.5 years. People have not recovered from that impact. When we die, people will still not recover. But some of us have been born again for years. We don't feel the Lord's burden. He'll be hungry, hungry. Then he will speak to one person. They've gone to buy food for him. When he comes, he says, I'm not hungry again. Ah, oh God, what did you eat? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My meat. What kept Jesus is that Jesus was consistently in tune with the Father's heart. I know they don't like me, and there are people that will say all kinds of things. I don't care. The Nigerian church is not in synchrony with the heartbeat of the Father. I'm telling you the truth. Or you think that Daddy Kumuyi is not wise? At 80, when he should be resting, he's going everywhere. It seems as if all of a sudden, a burden for crusades have rested upon him. You think the man doesn't know what he's doing? You think he doesn't know what he's doing? Let us build the most beautiful monuments in the world in Nigeria. If we don't evangelize our territories, we have failed. Let us build all the beautiful roads and share rice every Sunday morning. If souls don't become a priority of the Nigerian church, we have failed. We have failed. If we don't go back to the days of the 70s and the 80s, when sanctification was a priority of the church, consecration and holiness, and we live like this and die like this, we have failed. And you see, what I wanted to show you tonight is that the reason evangelism is suffering is because prayer is suffering. The primary way to evangelize territories is that you begin with prayer. He said, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will not hold their peace day or night. Be honest. You see, I'm not trying to be a bad man. I'm just picking up where Fego left. Be honest. When last did you weep over a soul? When last did you feel a burden for the lost? Your colleague in the office, your family member. That's the one that even troubles me the most. Your family member. And you ask the Christian, do you believe that hellfire is real? Hell is real, oh. You believe. And your father is on an express road to hellfire. You have never wept for his soul. It has never plagued your heart. You've never gone on a fast and cried to God, save him. Never. We just want to be comfortable. We want to eat good food. We want to attend church, drive car, enjoy ourselves, and just have a good time and say we had church. Meanwhile, God's agenda is suffering. Bro, go and read. When he called the disciples, what did he say to them? Follow me and I will do what? Make you what? Fishers of men. That's God's burden. He said a parable, I think it's in Matthew 13 and verse 47. He said the kingdom of God is like a dragnet. A mighty net that is thrown into the river, into the sea. He said, and then he pulls all kinds of fish. Some good, some bad. He says, and then there is sorting. After the net is pulled on board, then there is sorting. The good is now separated from the bad. He said, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Not miracle workers. Witnesses unto me. The New Living Translation says, you will be going everywhere testifying about me. Maravandrakai. You will be going everywhere testifying about. That's why I'm giving you the Holy Ghost. What will the Holy Ghost give you? He will give you courage. He will equip you. So that you do not lack utterance. But what you'll be doing is that you'll be going everywhere talking about me. Telling everyone, testifying about Jesus. I've said it to you before. A territory you cannot pray for, you cannot deliver. If we will win the loss, that's why we do territorial warfare. That's why we come here on Wednesdays and we call it territorial warfare. We are waging war for the territory. Because it's as we pray for them that we gain license in the spirit to evangelize them. The way you will win the world is through prayer. Prayer first. Prayer first. But how can we pray when such a thing is not even a burden? Just like Fego was saying, people come here and they cry and they do. The minute they walk out of the tent, it's almost as if they've entered a new environment. we don't live with burdens. So we don't carry it to the office. We don't carry it to the streets. We don't carry it to our business. We don't. Sometimes my office is like market. Because as I teach in the class, I will afflict you. People come to me for counseling, come to me for prayer, come to me for guidance. And I try never to complain, because I realize the reason he sent me to that university first is for the lost. First, not for salary. For the lost. For the lost. I'm trusting God that as we have prayed tonight, that God will begin to afflict our hearts. May he not give us rest. Did you read of Paul? What did Paul say? 1 Corinthians 9, I think it's verse 16. He said, woe is me. Have you read that scripture? If I don't preach the gospel. Give me 1 Corinthians 9 and 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For what? Necessity is done what? Later on. Necessity. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe. Help me, Holy Spirit. You see, go home tonight and beg God. Say, Lord, I want to cry your tears. I want to feel your burdens for the lost. I assure you, is the easiest way to walk in power. When your heart becomes radicalized, that everything you are doing is for Jesus, he will now begin to give you power. Power will come to you cheaply. Cheaply. Because you will need it on the field. I was talking with Pastor Barrow that next year, we need to be very deliberate with our village crusade. That I want to carry people to the field. Gagugu, bebebo, bagagagagaga. Let's go to the field. Let's go to the field. So that when you see demons that hold your throat like this, we will now know whether you're gagagagagaga, whether it's true. Because when we go to the field, I will stand at the back like this. And leave you. Then all those your goo, 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 you will face a demon. He said, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. If you read this, I don't want to go through all those things, but you can go and read it when you get home. He began to tell us that to the Greek he became, to the Jew he became a Jew, to the Gentile he became a Gentile, to the weak he became a weak. The weak, if by some means he might win some, if by all means he might win some, he became all things to all men. That's what somebody came to post under one of our videos. He says, Reverend Kesena, go and sit down in one place. The man was speaking to the teenagers in the language they understand. That's why he was singing a worldly song in the language that they understand. And you know the scripture the person wants to use to justify their foolishness is this scripture, that I became all things to all men. One, first, this thing Paul was saying, he was not saying that he was doing it in the church. He was doing it where? Unbelievers. And when he was saying this, he was not saying that he was compromising the gospel message. You need to read this. Remember, the Bible is not written in chapters. It's a continuous writing. You have to go to chapter 8 and hear him speak about eating meat and food dedicated to idols. So when he says to the weak, I became weak, he was speaking about those who could not eat food committed to idols because their conscience is weak. He's not saying that to the fornicator, I became a fornicator. So when he got to the prostitute house, he said, how much? They said, 2 million. Then he entered inside. Then while he's having sex, he said, woman of God, please know Jesus. Oh. To the alcoholic, I became an alcoholic. That's not what he's saying. He was speaking in this scripture about traditions. Traditions. And then comfort that he needed to deny himself so that he could reach the lost. That's how Paul lived. Because to Paul, every opportunity that presented itself was an opportunity to share the gospel. Every opportunity. Life for Paul was as long as he was breathing, then he must be a vessel through which the kingdom of God can find expression in his territory. I just want to show you 7 points on how to win a soul. How do you win a soul? Like I said, the first thing is that you begin by prayer. I encourage you tonight, if there are people around you, office, family, business, school, roommate, that is not born again, prepare a prayer list. A prayer list. And determine that you will be praying for them, even if it is 10 minutes every day. Determine. Maybe your prayer time, is 2 hours. You can now carve out 30 minutes and say that these 30 minutes, I will mention these people specifically by name and ask God to save them. What I do sometimes is, apart from praying for the people on the prayer list, I also say things to God like, if peradventure I meet somebody who is not saved today, may my life minister the gospel. So apart from the specific people you are praying for, you can ask God that your life. I've taught you many times that the most powerful evangelistic tool is the proof of a changed life. Most powerful evangelistic tool. When people see that you model a different kind of life, is a powerful tool. Very powerful. Very powerful. You do not know the number of people that are watching you. I assure you, on your street, in your workplace, they are watching your life. It's one day that something will happen and you just realize that people have placed you on a pedestal. You just do one foolish thing and say, even you. You now say, That's when you now realize that people have placed you on a pedestal. That's why Paul said that we are epistles, living epistles that are read. Read of men. So your life is the easiest way to influence people. So you begin by having a prayer list. Like I told you, you cannot bring deliverance. Salvation is deliverance to a people you do not pray for. For instance, if your father or mother is not born again, pray from now to the end of December. You will begin to see changes. Even without going one-on-one to say, Daddy, go and serve Jesus. You will just notice that the appetite for alcohol has begun to die. He will be looking for it. He can't find it. And you don't need to go and open the door one day and say, "Na me de bro." No. Just stay where you are and continue to labor. 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 One day, he will walk. He will be walking on the road. That is how you see people get born again in strange places. Somebody just sits down, wraps Rizla, and has put fire on it, wants to put it to his mouth, and then he just remembers Jesus is coming soon. He has already put the Rizla. He can't smoke it. That is because in the realm of the spirits that are waging war, Paul says that they are principalities, they are powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. All of these spirits are trying to ensure that God's agenda of evangelism, of winning the nations, winning men, does not come to pass. So we must deal with those spirits first, then before we now begin to take action. So if you began to engage in prayer, the next thing is that you must understand God's plan for salvation. Understand God's plan for salvation. If I'm around next week Wednesday, I will take this further, or whichever pastor is around will build on it. understand God's plan for salvation. You cannot teach what you do not understand. You cannot. Because if you do not understand God's plan for salvation, you do not know what the gospel is. Did you hear what I said? If you do not understand God's plan for salvation, then it means you do not know what the gospel is. It means that what you will attempt to preach to the unbeliever will not be the gospel. So you need to understand God's plan for salvation. And to understand God's plan for salvation, you just need to read scriptures. I'll take them one by one, actually, so that we will explain. Not just understand God's plan for salvation, be able to give a picture of it through the Bible. Through the Bible. Understand God's plan for salvation and be able to give a picture. That is, create a visible reality of that salvific plan of God through the scriptures. The Bible says, how shall they hear except we preach? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So what we preach is critical to what they hear. And if they don't hear correctly, their faith will be wrong. Because faith cometh by what? Their faith will be wrong. And this is why many people, their Christian lives, they are facing frustrations. Because the message they heard that brought them to God was not the gospel. It was not based on the salvific plan of God. It was based on traditions, materialism, comfort in this realm, and all kinds of appetites. There's what is called the depravity of man. You must be able to show what it is that God has in mind and then establish it in scriptures. Number three, you show man's need for salvation. Man's need for salvation. Okay, this is what God has in mind. This is why God created man. And this is what God is trying to do in the earth. And then man himself is in need of a savior. Man's primary need is a savior. You must be able to communicate this in evangelism, whether it is one-on-one or is in a group, that man's primary need is a savior. You know, when you preach a message and say, God can heal, God can deliver, God can make you comfortable, there's a big billboard as I'm about to turn into my street as I'm driving, and I just looked at it, I said, this is not gospel. Try Jesus and you will not have worries in your life again. It's not gospel. That's not why Jesus came. Man needs saving. And you need to let people know that you are damned. You are depraved. You are on your way to an eternity of suffering and pain. And your primary need is not food. Your primary need is not sex. Your primary need is not money. Your primary need is a savior. So you must be able to tell them, what is the savior going to save them from? What are they going to be saved from? Why do I need saving? That's why you must understand God's plan for salvation. Why do I need saving? I'm enjoying my life. I'm living a good life. I can eat 3 square meals. I can drive a car. I don't need deliverance. I don't need anything. Why do I need salvation? You must be able to explain that. So once you've been able to show that man needs salvation, you must be able to show that man cannot save himself. Man cannot save himself. Now, I'm not saying that when you are going to the field, these things I'm showing you now, you now have a notepad that you now be checking like this. Step one. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this is why I'm showing it to you now, so you know how to build yourself in preparation. A simple story can deal with all these 7 points I'm telling you. A simple story. And this is where the gifts of the Spirit become very valuable. You meet somebody who is a drug addict, and then you don't know. And then the Holy Spirit tells you that he's hooked on drugs. That now becomes your opening. With that discernment, you can begin from the point of him being hooked on drugs and say, that's why you are helpless. Drugs now are controlling you. You can't help yourself. And that's why Jesus came. To deliver you. To grant you strength to live above depravity and sin. Man cannot help himself. And because man cannot help himself, Jesus fills the gap by dying for us. That's why Jesus came to die. That's step number 5. And then once you have gotten to that point that Jesus came to die for us, then you explain the way to be saved. How does a man get saved? How does a man get saved? If you've been in any of my teachings, you know I quote that scripture a lot. Believe with your heart and what? Confess with your mouth. I think that's Romans chapter 10. Help us. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Explain the way to be saved. Believe him. So these are the primary ways to be saved. Number 1, believe him. Number 2, receive him. Number 3, confess him. Believe him, receive him, confess him. That's how you get born again. You believe him, you receive him, you confess him. What does it mean to believe him? Believe that he came. Believe that he died for you. Receive him as your savior. And then confess. That means you must open your mouth and literally say. That is why we do what is called the sinner's prayer. There is no template for the sinner's prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's no template that this is the way they must say it. You must begin. The most important thing is, look at it. It says, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And what does it mean? I've told you, Lord simply means master, owner. So you are simply saying, God, come and be the Lord of my life. You confess him. Because in confessing him as Lord, you are renouncing the government of Satan. Now, once the person is born again, the last step is to tell them what is the assurance of salvation. The assurance of salvation. The assurance of salvation. Because somebody might ask you, just like that, say yes. So you mean, say, God, don't forgive me now? Yes. So you mean I'm new now? Yes. Okay, how I go to know? So you have to let the person know that it is not a matter of feelings. It's not a matter of feelings. That how you feel may not change. Your skin is not going to change. Somebody that has flat nose will not have a pointed nose because they got born again. Somebody that is dark will not be fair. Right? Your physical appearance will not change. So what is the assurance? The assurance is faith and trust in God. That God will do what he says he will do. So if he says, as many that come unto me, I will not cast them out, then we trust him that he will not cast us out. If he says, as many as believed him, to them he gave power to become sons of God, then we believe him. So it is faith and trust. Trust in God that he will do what he says he will do. That's the assurance of salvation. So your feelings might not change, but you must have total and absolute trust. And this is why you must now recommend, you must now recommend to that new convert to find a company of believers. One can be born in isolation, but a Christian can never grow in isolation. You can be born in isolation. This thing I'm saying now can happen under a tree somewhere. It can happen on the road. That means an individual, you know, I need to also encourage you that it's not everybody you speak to that will get born again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You might even feel the intense weight of God's glory. I was encouraging a young man in my house some days ago who turned his back on God because of certain things that happened. And he became discouraged, said he's not serving God anymore. So I invited him to my house. And I showed him in scripture where the great prophet Jeremiah said, the Lord deceived me and I allowed myself to be deceived. Now I have become a mockery before men. Jeremiah 20 and I think verse 7. Have you seen that scripture before? He said, the Lord deceived me and I allowed myself to be deceived. And I have become a great mockery before men. So in encouraging him, I told him that You can have been to meetings before that in my secret place I saw cripples walk. In fact, walking into the meeting, especially crusades, I felt like I had become an angel. That's the way I was feeling. I know God's presence, so when it is there, I know. Like now, if I do something now, it will be as if, let's leave it. But God's presence is here. God is here. So I know God's presence. But I'll climb the pulpit and minister. And the things I saw, I will not see it on the field. It doesn't change the fact that God was present. It's a place of trust. So even when you go out for evangelism, you will not be able to win everybody. Remember this as you try to evangelize the world. Your role is to preach. It is God that saves. Are you hearing me? Your role is to preach. Sometimes someone might hear 15 preachers. It is the 15th word that will be the last straw that breaks the camel's back. So somebody can just be walking on the road and then we'll just remember a sermon he heard on Sunday, and then he breaks down and says, I want to accept Jesus. Nobody preached to him. It will look like nobody preached to him, but if you check his life carefully, you will find out that there will be multiple exposures. But that day, conviction came to him. So a Christian can be born in isolation. It can happen in a quiet place alone, but no one grows as a Christian in isolation. So you must know how to introduce that person to a company of believers, so that they can become rooted and they can grow. That's why when we go for crusades, campus crusades and all of that, we call the fellowship presidents, and then the people that were saved from the crusade, we hand them over to the JCCF and say, disciple these people, grow them, because we don't have a church there. But here, when we do crusades in Warri, you notice that we take the names of all the people, then we do believers class and hope that we establish them in the way of the truth. Have you been blessed tonight? Praise God. So next week, even if I'm not around, if there are questions, we can take questions. We'll take them one after the other. But the foundation I wanted to lay tonight is, there is no evangelizing without prayer. You want to be a powerful evangelist, begin to pray for the lost. And I want us to do a collective experiment. Write 3, 4, 5 names down, even one. Just go back home tonight and begin to generate a burden for people who are lost around you. Your younger sister, your father, colleagues in the office, somebody on your street. Just pick one person on your street. Maybe all you need to do today is just walk up the person tomorrow morning and say, what's your name? So. Okay, God bless you. I'm going to be praying for you. Finish. Take the person's name and then begin to pray. I was motivated to do it when I read of people who prayed for the lost. Woe unto you if your name enter their prayer book. You must be born again. They won't stop till you get born again. One prayed for the lost for 10 years. The guy was sharing the testimony that the day he came to meet him to say, I'm now born again, that the guy brought out his book from under his bed and now struck the man's name out. He had been praying for 10 years. What consistency. That's the way me I want to live. And I pray that God will help us in the name of Jesus. Praise God.